and welcome to Fat Geeky Reviews. My name is Brendan. Hey guys, we are back with another episode of Fat Geeky Reviews. This time we are doing part two of my Detective Pikachu review with my friend Ray. And the part one was so great. We left off where Pikachu was left on a rock, and who showed up was Mewtwo. That's where we left off on the last podcast. So I wanted to split the podcast into two because the interview was so long. It was over an hour and a half long, and I know that's a kind of a long for a podcast. So I split the interview up into two different podcasts. And I'm thank you guys so much for downloading the last podcast. It really means a lot to me. And if you can, make sure you subscribe. And give us 5 stars, any thumbs up, whatever podcast platform you're listening on, really helps me out a lot. Leave a comment so that I can continue to do better on these podcasts. So much fun to do them, and I miss doing them over the past month or so because I started this new career, and I've been really, really busy, so I want to get back into the podcast, and I'm so excited to continue the journey of Detective Pikachu this week, and we'll be right back with Ray. Go ahead and stay tuned.
Absolutely. And did you think that? So for me, I was really surprised by that, and I don't know if you were.
I thought he was going to take him to. I thought they were going to take him to like a Chansey.
Yeah, right. Like it's exactly like a Chansey, or I was even thinking like, oh, I guess maybe like would a Venusaur be able to heal? Because they have, I think there are certain moves that grass type Pokemon have that will heal them. And I thought, yeah. Well, you know, because it's Bulbasaur, right? Like a bunch of Bulbasaur. Yeah, but exactly. I was like, there must be a Chansey somewhere around here. So yeah, yeah, Mewtwo. I'm glad I wasn't the only one just like completely kind of floored when Mewtwo just like floated around the corner.
Right.
I was like, whoa.
And then Mewtwo healed Pikachu.
Yes.
And kind of restored some memory.
Yeah.
A little bit, but not enough. And then Roger Clifford, you know, who they were on their way to the lab, they end up capturing Mewtwo.
Yes.
Again. So they had Mewtwo captured. And Pikachu kind of realizes that Pikachu thinks that getting Mewtwo caught was his fault.
Yes.
Because he's kind of fed this story that Harry Goodman was the one that actually captured Mewtwo initially.
Yeah. And I feel like part of that story was true though, because obviously Mewtwo is captured before the narrative is finished, so there's a skewed context in this story. So Harry might have actually found Mewtwo for what's his name?
Howard
Clifford.
Or Roger.
Yeah, one of them, right? Because right. I can imagine that in his head he's thinking like, oh, these people love Pokemon. They, you know, there must be a, you know, there must be this this benign reason, basically, like why they want to study Mewtwo, right? Mm. And so, and then of course, imagine his horror when in fact they were like, oh no, we're gonna capture him and do these crazy experiments on him.
Right, and then Howard, was even like kind of shocked about it too when he first told Tim about, you know, the Mewtwo.
Yeah,
he was like, you know, we didn't know that it was gonna, you know, we contracted Harry because we knew that this Mewtwo was gonna be very powerful.
Yeah, which kind of gives us a little bit more information about Harry himself, and right. Then but it's still interesting because from you get this idea from the not from the beginning, but you start getting this idea that really nothing is as it seems. And, mm-hmm. you know, and that obviously occurs to the characters later on too. But, you know, especially because, you know, we see Mewtwo destroy the car. We see that when Mewtwo heals Pikachu and starts telling him the story, that it's painted in this very negative light. And then we almost feel like Mewtwo is part of the villainy of this story. Like, oh, because we all know what happened in, you know, Pokemon Red, Pokemon Blue, and then, of course, the movie in 1999, right? You know, Mewtwo just going crazy and wanting to control and destroy. You know, he's very much the villain in the first Pokemon movie. And so we're kind of fed that narrative again.
Right.
Before he's captured by Roger.
Right, exactly. And Tim knows that he has to go back and warn Howard.
Yeah.
He goes, I gotta go warn Howard that his son captured Mewtwo.
Yeah, exactly.
But Pikachu's like, no, man, this is my fault. I don't want to go. And they separate.
Yeah.
And Pikachu's like, I'm walking. Bye.
Yeah.
And Tim gets back to Rhyme City along with Lucy and Psyduck, and they're getting ready for this Pokemon parade.
Mm.
And so everybody's dressed in their partner's gear and stuff. Like, there's a bunch of Pikachu and there's a bunch of Charmander. There's a couple others. Squirtle. There's a couple others.
We get to see a lot more, a lot of the same Pokemon that we'd seen before, and then like a lot of new Pokemon too. Just kind of gathering for the occasion. We get to see the Lieutenant Snubbull.
Yes.
Hanging around with him at the grandstand. That was really cute. Snubbull. I know. He was such a good he's so cute.
And so Tim is like, you warned the public. He tells Lucy to warn the public.
Yeah.
Somehow. And he's going to go tell Howard. And so he gets to the building, and he gets to Howard's building. And Howard has the neural link on his head.
Mm-hmm.
And they discovered that neural link in the lab. They're like, what's that? And so he has this neural link on, and then, you know, spoiler alert, it reveals that Howard is actually the bad guy.
Yes.
And Mewtwo kind of comes up through the floor, and Howard then transmits his thought stuff in his brain, his mind, into the body of Mewtwo, and now has become Mewtwo.
Yeah.
And that's when, like, all shit goes down.
Yes, there's for a movie that is definitely plot heavy, the last, I would say, 5 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Were certainly really action packed, but like it was action that made sense to the narrative of the story.
Right.
And, you know, because of everything that's happening, and, you know, you're absolutely right. All hell breaks loose.
Right. And so what happens is that Howard is actually he creates this gas from Mewtwo, and they put it in all the parade balloons.
Yeah.
And ultimately what Mewtwo is going to do, he's going to use his powers to merge the people of Rhyme City with their Pokemon. And then on top of that, they're going to breathe in the gas that makes them all ragey. So it's going to just be a city full of just ragey Pokemon.
Yeah.
And basically what Howard's main goal is to evolve the human into a Pokemon.
Yeah, that whole combination of like what a human and Pokemon could be together wasn't, you know, this really cutesy motto thing like, oh, together we can achieve anything. No, it's like, no, you're literally a Pokemon. And, you know, that's terrifying.
Right. And he's starting to get away with it. And
yeah.
And ultimately, Pikachu his memory starts to come back.
Yeah.
And he realizes that, oh crap, oh no, I was the one that released, I'm the one that freed Mewtwo.
Yeah.
And because Pikachu returns to the site of the crash.
Yeah.
And finds the Greninja star thing.
Right.
Like a frozen Greninja star. And he's like, no, Mewtwo's not the one that caused the cast. The Greninja are. Oh, crap.
Right. He makes that connection in his head that Howard, or that somebody Roger, whoever, right?
Yeah.
Was definitely responsible and or is the true bad guy in that he holds no fault in the narrative.
And Pikachu realizes that he finally has his powers back because he finally remembers everything.
Yeah.
And then we see the battle that we've been wanting throughout the whole movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which is Pikachu versus Mewtwo.
Yes.
The face of the franchise versus the most powerful Pokemon in the world.
Absolutely.
And they played it up so well, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely knew it was coming.
Even though that Howard, it's Howard inside of Mewtwo. You have the power of Mewtwo versus this little tiny mouse Pokemon.
It's so cute.
It's so cute.
Yes.
But Pikachu packs a punch.
Oh, yeah.
And starts, you know, Electro Ball versus Shadow Ball and all this other stuff. Like, it was nuts. And the battle rages on and a bunch of cool stuff with Pikachu hopping from balloon to balloon.
And yes.
It was very
he's on a Pidgeot for a while.
Oh yeah, that's another shout out back to the original series, because Ash's Pikachu always rode on top of Pidgeotto.
He did, yeah.
So that was kind of cool to jump it was just nostalgic. This whole movie was kind of a nostalgia in some ways. Yeah.
Even though I didn't actually use any of the core characters or any of the core storyline, it really made an effort to throw back into its roots. And yeah. They did such a good job doing that.
They did.
So I definitely appreciated that. That's why when I'm sitting in the movie theater just going like, yes, this is exactly what I wanted.
Exactly. I wanted to see Pikachu riding Pidgeot. Yes.
Yes.
I didn't know I wanted that. But
yes, exactly. Like, I didn't know this was something I wanted, but yes.
Right. And so we cut back to Tim. He's kind of knocked out in the tower in Howard Clifford's office. And of course, Howard Clifford is still, his body is still lying there with the neural link attached. And we see the girl that we see in the nightclub, the one who texts, you know, the kid is here with the Pikachu.
Right.
And for when I first saw this girl in the movie, I was like, oh, Team Rocket.
Yes. But, yes. That was my thought, too.
And I'm kind of sad that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But it turned out that it was a Ditto.
Yes. That freaking Ditto.
She took off the glasses. Yeah. And I was like, oh, it's Ditto.
Oh, no. The Ditto. And it's not like it was new information necessarily, because we knew that Howard Clifford had a Ditto.
Right.
Because at one point there's they show us this TV interview, and Howard's assistant, he changes from something into something else so that he can push Howard's wheelchair. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes perfect sense for a gentleman with disabilities to have a Pokemon that can literally become anything to help him.
Right.
The Ditto eyes were so creepy. They did such a good job with the Ditto eyes.
And so, you know, he gets in the fight with the Ditto. Tim does.
Yeah.
And then after that fight, we realize that the Ditto was actually Roger.
Yes.
And the real Roger was locked up in like this cabinet.
Yeah, that was really interesting too. To find out that Richard had basically been kidnapped and shoved in a closet the whole time.
Yeah. While the Pikachu Mewtwo battle is going on outside, Pikachu kind of gets, you know, kind of knocked down onto this rooftop, and, you know, Mewtwo comes in and says, you know, the normal bad guy line, like, you have failed, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then Pikachu creates a distraction. And that's when Tim takes the neural link off of Howard.
Yeah.
Severing the link between Mewtwo and Howard. And Mewtwo comes to and saves Pikachu from ultimate death.
Yeah.
And they win the battle. And Mewtwo then uses its almighty power to cure everybody, separate Pokemon from person, and kind of restoring normalcy.
Yeah.
At that moment.
It's really interesting because it's still, you know, because of course at the end you see that Howard Clifford is being arrested and taken away. And, you know, there's this idea that, and it plays through the games as well, basically that Pokemon aren't inherently evil. Right. And even like, even if we talk about way back, like, yes, of course, Mewtwo is technically the villain in the very first Pokemon movie. Mm-hmm. But why was he the villain? He was angry. He was being manipulated. He, you know, basically he was what he was because humans made him that way. Right. Mm-hmm. And so the idea, I like that. And it was very, it was really, really subtle. Nobody really said anything about it, but you just get this idea that like, oh, okay, this person is going to see justice. And that Mewtwo is finally, you know, he's free to go. He's not going to face any consequences because, again, Pokemon aren't inherently bad or good. Well, I suppose you could argue that they're inherently good, helpful creatures. But, you know, they're not gonna premeditatively, you know, fill balloons with this ragey gas and, you right. know, try to overthrow the world balance.
Exactly.
Basically.
And on top of this, Mewtwo teaches them the truth about what happened to Tim's dad, Harry.
Yes.
And what happened was that Mewtwo, in order to save Harry, merged him with Pikachu.
Yes. Yes. Shock ending, I will say.
Yeah, and I didn't expect that at all. I thought it was, I mean, you were led to believe from the beginning of the movie that the gas was the reason that he could hear Pikachu.
Yeah, exactly.
He breathed in that gas.
They set it up really, really well. But yeah. at the same time, it makes the theory makes sense, but it also doesn't, because then why isn't he able to understand other Pokemon? Like, why just the Pikachu? And right. then, you know, you could argue like, oh, well, Pikachu was the first Pokemon he encountered upon mm-hmm. inhaling the gas, and maybe it worked that way. And then so they did a really great job setting it up, for sure.
Yes, they did. And so, of course, Mewtwo fixes everything, and that's kind of, he gets to reunite with his dad, which they did cast Ryan Reynolds to play his dad, which again was a shocker to me.
I wasn't really expecting that, and it generated a lot of questions for me, honestly. First of all, being like, I know that Tim hadn't seen his dad in a really long time, mm-hmm. but I think I would have remembered the sound of my father's voice.
And, right.
You know, so I'm like, even if it's coming out of a Pikachu, I'd be like, Dad?
Yeah, so, exactly.
The idea. So, yeah, as soon as that happened, you know, the movie was ending, I'm like, yeah, that was a good movie. Why didn't he recognize his dad's voice?
Exactly. And it's funny because I was, you know, I went to the movie with my wife, who doesn't know anything about Pokemon.
Mm.
And she was like, Why is Ryan Reynolds the dad? And I was like, I don't know, to be honest. I was like, yeah. He played the voice, like, why not? Yeah. And, you know, and she was like, that. I just didn't expect, if it was any other actor,
yeah,
I would have been okay with it.
Yeah.
That's what she said. And I was like, yeah. I was like, you know, you make a really good point. Like,
yeah. Yeah, like, I definitely wasn't expecting, because again, right, it caused a lot of questions. And I was... Yeah, and I'm just sitting there like, okay, go off, I guess. Yes. What is it that the kids say? Weird flex, but go on.
Yeah. Yes, I don't know.
I don't know. But
so anyway.
It's a good ending, and of course there is that one final scene, and kind of throughout the movie, Tim Goodman has expressed regret that, you know, he really didn't take up his father's offer to see him in Rhyme City, and that he regrets that they'd been estranged for so long. And his father was getting ready to send him a birthday card with a train ticket in it, like, hey, come and see me. And so it's just a really satisfying ending in that, you know, Tim is getting ready to go. He's got his train ticket, and then he doesn't go. You know, he stays with his dad. And I thought after everything that the movie had kind of set up, I was very satisfied with that. Like, yes, it's very, very campy and yes. super sweet. I didn't care. I liked yeah. it.
Yeah, and you know what? It didn't affect anything about the plot of the movie.
No.
Which is it didn't ruin it at all. So no. I thought the movie was really good plot wise. I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
That the movie plot wise was good enough to lead a Pokemon movie.
Yeah. So it, I think oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
In a world where a Pokemon movie would be hard to do live action.
Yeah.
I'm pleasantly surprised they picked a very good plot to do this with.
Agreed.
And I you know what? As campy as something, and with all the nostalgia that they brought back, you know, making those little small callbacks to the original anime series.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly, I couldn't have been happier with the movie. I don't think there's anything they could have done to make it better. I don't think there's really much they could have done to, you know, it wasn't, I mean, it could be a lot worse.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's really much they could have done to make it a blockbuster movie other than what it was.
Yeah. And Aaron and I were kind of talking about that afterwards. Aaron is my fiance. And so we were talking about it and I said, you know, they had a lot of opportunities to make a live action Pokemon movie for a long time. Again, 20 years worth of material that, I mean, obviously less if they had done it earlier, but I was really grateful that they didn't rush it. I feel like they made the movie when the time was right and the technology was right. What I will say is I think they missed a great opportunity to use puppets. So especially when we think about movies like Lord of the Rings, right? And yeah. The amazing job that they did with prosthetics, miniatures, that sort of thing. I feel like Pokemon, a live action Pokemon movie could have been really good for puppetry, movie puppetry. Sure. In terms of making things look even more authentic.
Right.
By that token, Pokemon aren't normal things.
No, they're not. And
somebody, I remember like when the movie, the first trailer was released, everyone's like, oh, Pokemon look kind of weird. And I had read a very brief article and I wish I could remember who wrote it or who, you know, what it was written for, but it was basically something along the lines of, well, Pokemon aren't, they should look this way because they're not natural. And, you know, right. Yet they look real enough for what they are. And I thought, you know what? That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
They look real enough for what they are. And, you know, I think about especially the Mr. Mime, right?
When you, the Mr. Mime looked fantastic.
Yes, I loved how Mr. Mime looked. I was like, yes, the thing is, though, I'm like, if I were to encounter an actual Mr. Mime, I might lose it. Like the idea of
actually with Mr. Mime was so great when
it was so funny.
He's like, I got it. And then he like opens a door, an imaginary door, climbs in, starts pouring gasoline on him, make believe gasoline.
Okay.
And pretends to light a match and then Mr. Mime kept putting it out.
Yes. And then he's like, oh, I'll show you. And then he goes out and then like he
drops the gasoline line out of the door.
Yeah, and then shuts the door, and, you know, he can't get out. And then, you know, he lights the match, and Mr. Mime tells him everything. And then they accidentally, you know, he lets his fingers go, right? Because he's thinking, oh, great, we're done here. But they're still in that fantasy.
And then Mr. Mime still thinks he's going to catch on fire. He's like, yeah!
Oh, my God. So that was pretty good. Yeah,
some of the Pokemon in that, you know, now that we're done with the plot, we can kind of talk about the characters a little bit. But I thought the Lickitung was gross, creepy, just as Lickitung would be in real life.
Yes, I thought like it's so funny because it really highlights, I think, the idea that Tim Goodman is not a Pokemon fan, you right. know? But let's be honest, if a Lickitung came up to you and licked you. I don't think you'd be a huge fan anyway. Like they right. did a great job, like having the actual slime just like kind of drip off of him. Although he handled it really calmly. It's just like, who's Lickitung?
Is anybody's Lickitung?
Is anybody's Lickitung?
Tim it's like Goodman. Lickitung walk around and lick people. Like that's a normal thing.
When he opened his mouth and the whole thing just flopped out, I was like, oh my God. It was really ridiculous. It was just fantastic.
And even the small subtle things that they had going on in the movie, like with some of the characters, like you saw evolved Pokemon with their like their first, like almost they have like newborn Pokemon. They're like playing at a playground.
Yeah.
And that stuff, like even stuff as subtle as that, I noticed. And I was just like, wow, like how much they, you know, there's so many Pokemon. There used to be just 150.
Yeah.
And to do a movie and you add in characters from all of the, or most of the games. Like, yeah. And not all of them, of course. We didn't see every single Pokemon in this movie, but to have a Treecko just kind of, you know, stuck on that glass.
Ah, yeah, right. That was great. Especially like seeing them interact with an environment. Because, you know, when you play the games, it's really rare to actually see a Pokemon interacting with anything. Now that might change in the animations for, you know, Pokemon Sun and Sword and Shield, but even just playing Let's Go Pikachu, you still didn't really see Pokemon interacting with a lot of things. So being able to see that in a movie was really refreshing, and it helps give the world more oomph, as it were.
Yeah.
I know one of the things I really appreciated, you know, you talk about little small things that you notice. I remember that when Tim is going to the police station, right? There are police officers walking by, and they both have Growlithe. Well, in the games, anytime you encounter a police officer, they always have a Growlithe.
Right. And same with the anime, too. Officer Jenny or whatever.
Yeah, she always has a Growlithe with her. Mm-hmm. And not only were there a lot of throwbacks to, you know, the original 150 and everything like that, but also newer Pokemon from Sun and Moon. Like we have the, does Panguro show up in Sun and Moon, or is that Black and White?
I can't remember now.
But like, oh, in the forest scene, there's a special fairy type Pokemon in Alola that looks like a Lei. And so in the forest, you can see that. And there's also like this other mushroom type fairy, this mushroom looking fairy type that floats along with them, and the Bulbasaur.
Yeah.
That's from Alola too. So they include like these, like they even include the newest Pokemon. It's not just, and I like that they didn't just focus on the original 150.
Which they could have.
They could, you know, have, absolutely.
With a movie where your main plot is Pikachu and Mewtwo.
Yeah.
You know, they could have just stuck it like, these are only Kanto Pokemon.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Maybe Rhyme City is in Kanto, but no, Rhyme City seems to be just kind of outside of the norm. But we don't know where in the world it is. We don't know whether it's in Johto, Kanto. We don't know where it is. But the fact that it has all sorts of Pokemon from all regions, you know, it's kind of a cool place to... I think that it's one of the reasons why they did that, to take the Pikachu thing, so they weren't confined to one region or the other.
Yeah, and that is definitely a possibility too. You know, in thinking about talking about characters and Pokemon and character development, you know, I liked Tim's journey through the movie, because, you know, he's moving on with his life, he's going on to bigger, better things. You know, he's kind of apathetic about Pokemon. Like, he doesn't actively dislike them, but he's like, oh, I don't need a partner Pokemon. You know, and everybody is so surprised by it, you know, like,
yeah.
Oh, you don't want this. And I thought that was really interesting, like the idea that you have to be in a partnership with a Pokemon to have fulfillment in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like people asking you if you're single, like when you're gonna get married and stuff. So I thought that was interesting. You know, and then he is so ready to close the chapter on his dad's life. You know, he, when he first goes, Ken Watanabe, of course, playing the lieutenant, that was a great choice for him. You know, he goes and he's like, I don't want to talk about it. Just give me the keys. It's fine.
Right.
One of the things I'm kind of, I was going to rabbit trail for a second, but I'll stay on topic. So, you know, and then he meets the Pikachu. He doesn't want anything to do with a Pikachu. Okay. Nothing new there.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of realizing that he doesn't have a choice. This Pikachu is going to stick with him no matter what. You know, and then finding out that his dad was working on something that, you know, then his dad might not be dead, especially after genuinely regretting that they had no more time together, you know. And I thought that was I felt like that came from a really genuine place. You know, my dad was doing something really dangerous, and you know, I'm never going to see him again. And then that's why I think the ending was so satisfying, the fact that, you know, his dad was actually still alive. And it's like, oh, and that he stayed. He didn't just leave again.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, okay, you went from this guy who, you know, you had a lot of unresolved issues with your family, you know, with your father specifically, and, you know, you healed through your journey, and now you can move forward.
Yeah, exactly.
So I liked that arc a lot. Specifically, I thought they did a really great job, and I thought that Justice Smith did a fantastic acting job. I hadn't actually, I'm not familiar with any of his other work, to be honest. So I kind of went in just knowing that like Ryan Reynolds was going to be the voice of Pikachu, and I didn't know anybody else.
Yeah, I did too. I didn't know who Justice Smith was or really. Yeah. And then when I saw, I didn't even know Bill Nighy was in the movie.
Yeah, same. And he popped up, and I was like, did they seriously get Bill?
The dude was in Pirates of the Caribbean. Like,
yeah, I'm like, anyway. did they have to sit down and like tell him what Pokemon were, like, or did, like,
could you imagine that conversation? Hey, oh, Bill Nighy, we want you to play this character in this movie. Okay, what's the movie? Detective Pikachu. What?
What the heck's a Pikachu?
What is that?
Oh man, do you think, like,
he played it off well though?
He did a really good job.
Yeah, well, you amazing.
Know, what is it that would oh no, I'm gonna say Picard, and I can't.
Star Trek today.
I know. The actor who plays him, whose name? Oh, Sir Patrick Stewart. And he's like, acting. Like, Bill is a professional. He's like, I'm going to read this. Could you? That would be so great. Be like, all right, write me a brief summary, and I'll read it, and then I'll be good to go. And like that poor intern is like, how do I summarize 20 years worth of a franchise? Boy has tiny yellow mouse that shoots electricity. They go on a journey. There's like 765 of these things now. You are the chairman of a huge company that promotes it.
Yeah, you're the chairman of a company who created a city where these creatures and humans live together. And you're just like, if I'm Bill Nighy, I'm like, how much are you paying me to do this?
Yeah, right? Oh my gosh. Do you think he got to choose his partner Pokemon? Oh, actually, I wonder about that. You know, do they get to, did the character playing Lucy get to, well, I guess not, because Psyduck actually, yeah.
Yeah, because Psyduck played a kind of a role.
Yeah, so they wouldn't have been able to.
Yeah, and Ditto was kind of a, you know.
What if Ken Watanabe got to choose Snubbull? Because there's really no reason for him to have
there's
chosen.
There's no reason for Snubbull, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because
Ken Watanabe didn't play off like he was a grumpy guy, and Snubbull was pretty grumpy.
Yes. So, okay, it may not be true, and I don't care, but in my heart, I'm going to believe that, you know, when they sat Ken Watanabe down.
Which Pokemon do you want as your Pokemon partner?
And he's like, I want Snubbull. Give him a list. These are the Pokemon that you can have, and especially because, like, in X and Y, when the fairy type became a thing, Snubbull was reclassified from a normal type Pokemon to a fairy type Pokemon. Oh, I know.
I forgot about that.
And so, like, that just in general.
Oh man, sorry, Ken Watanabe, if you ever hear this podcast.
Yeah, sorry, Ken. Sorry, Mr. Watanabe.
Sorry, you had a fairy type Pokemon.
No, but okay, but let's true talk. Snubbull is an amazing Pokemon, especially when it evolves into Granbull as a fairy type. Once it learns Play Rough, it will decimate the other team. In fact, I'm starting to, not to rabbit trail, but when I'm thinking about like competition now, because I've never actually done competition before, but now when I'm thinking about competition, I'm like, I'm going to have a Granbull. Because one, it's super tanky. And then two, once it knows play rough, it's going to destroy anything on the field. So, you know, maybe I don't think Snubbull was a bad choice.
No, I guess not. Now that you put it in those terms, no. That's great. So
I know.
Overall, I thought the movie was pretty good. I would, you know, it's probably going to be one of those things where I'm probably going to get it on digital.
Oh yeah.
Just so I can watch it again at home and, you know, as a Pokemon fan since the very beginning. I remember when I had my original Game Boy, not a color Game Boy, original Game Boy, and I had my buddy Kirk got the red version, I got the blue version, and we had our little cable so that we could trade.
Well, that concludes the two-part episode of Detective Pikachu Review. I hope you guys really enjoyed my conversation with my friend Ray. Again, you heard her say that her Twitter handle is at AVGMagicalGirl on Twitter. Check her out if you love being, if you're part of the writing community and you love to do writing. She follows a lot of people on there. Give her a shout. Let her know how she did on the podcast. I think she is fantastic, and she's one of my best friends. So I want to thank Ray again for coming on the podcast and being a part of a special movie in Detective Pikachu. We both really enjoyed it, and I hope you guys did too. If you're a fan of this franchise and you're a fan of this kind of fandom, then we hope you enjoyed it too. Of course, it always has its flaws, but I think that overall the movie was really good. So, you know, check us out on Twitter. Again, one more time, you can check me out at Fat Geeky Reviews on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And then don't forget to hit that subscribe button. And anything, hit the like button, hit the little heart button, hit the thumbs up button, whatever button is on your podcasting platform, hit that for me. Don't forget to subscribe. And then go in the link in the description. If you click on that link in the description and you want to throw 99 cents a month my way to help me keep going, that'd be great. If you want to do a little more, we also have options for $4.99 a month and $9.99 a month. You know, to help me keep the podcast going. Of course, the podcast is going to remain free for anyone who wants to download it. I really appreciate anybody that does. But if you want to maybe throw away one soda a month and give that 99 cents to me to keep going and keep trucking along on my podcast, that would be great too. But of course, the easiest thing you can do for me is subscribe. So thank you guys for downloading the podcast for this week. And that's it for the Geek.